Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. So yeah, brilliant 4-1 win at Southampton on Friday night. And what a night it was. Absolutely loved it. Missed the first goal, missed the third goal, but a really, really good night. Me and George were there in that away end. I mean, I'm going to go straight out there. There was mentions and talks of it being the best away day since a certain trip to Eindhoven. Now, I've not given it too much thought since then, but if anyone's got any suggestions to say better ones, let us know. So welcome back. Really happy, of course, off the back of that win, and another huge game this week as we head to Norwich. Delighted to say, coming back on the podcast, he was brilliant last time, is the former Leicester and Norwich man, Darren Eady. So he'll be with us in about 10 or so minutes time. So yeah, looking forward to that. Some brilliant other bits and pieces as well happening on the podcast. So thanks for listening. Right, we've got Jack and Rick. George's going to be with us in a couple of moments time. Rick, I'm going to come straight to you, mate. So loved it on Friday. We had a great night in Southampton. We even at halftime looked for hotels. We were going to stay out. But I won't lie, I think we all bottled it in the end when we realised the reality of other stuff we had on Saturday. But mate, we loved it. It was a great game and a great performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some stonking wins there now, haven't we? That's our second 4-1 in sort of 4 or 5 years, and we've had the 9-0. Yeah, it's a very nice place for us. Just needed it, didn't we? Although we've won 4 in 5 in the league, I think we needed to put some goals away as well to sort of get that off our backs. And old Russell Martin's in the mud, isn't he? You know, we called it early with him. Well, May time, wasn't it? Before we'd even been relegated and he was linked. And I planted the mast that I weren't having him. And Jack agreed. And I think George did as well. But yeah, it didn't come back to haunt us, thankfully. He was he's looking in banging trouble already. Blokes off his head.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, as good as and comprehensive as that win was, to get 3 points over an elite manager like Russell Martin, it makes it that little bit sweeter, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, he's not an elite manager, put it that way.
I'm looking forward to Darren coming on very shortly, by the way.
Does he know him really well? Like, how rude can we be about? Well, I've got nothing personally against Russell, but no. It was one of the most deluded post-match interviews I've ever heard.
No, I've seen it. And also the fourth goal, the Mavididi one. I mean, how somebody can receive the ball 25 yards out of their own goal and only have to go around one person and there literally be no one in front of them. And yeah, it happened time and time again, didn't it? They conceded 4 to Norwich, 5 to Sunderland, and now another 4 to us. Look, you know, give the bloke time.
Well, speaking of giving him time, he was moaning about the amount of time added on at the end. And you're like, mate, you're 4-1 down and you've been given to 6 minutes. And he's like, it's not enough.
Mm. But yeah, by the way, Darren knows Ross a lot kind of more than what I do. So for all the jokes about me being mates with Russell Martin, Darren definitely is. So I genuinely will be interested in his take on Russell's career so far as a manager, because yeah, I haven't spoken to Darren previously about that. But yeah, Jordan is now with us fresh. Yeah, are we fresh off a 30K run? You've got your marathon coming up this weekend. How was that, pal?
Yeah, I forgot how far it was, mate, to be honest. It was all right. Last panic run before next week. And Houthi's just messaged me just now as well, because he's doing the same one.
Oh, is he?
So I'll be intrigued to see how he'll get on, because obviously he used to be a professional footballer, but he said before, he goes, oh, it's a big frame to carry around, mate. Mm. I thought, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it genuinely will be interesting. You know, not to mention Hyrox, because you know I like to mention it. But lots of former footballers do that. I've seen Sylvain Distan do Hyrox. I've seen Glenn Murray do it. And you know, but these guys, even when they're post retirement, they obviously still want to keep doing fit. I mean, some aren't bothered, but some do. And you know, you'll be amazed that even when they stop playing professional football, just how fit they are. But the shins, okay, Jordan, a couple of wild celebrations in that away end. Mine are a bit battered and bruised, I won't lie.
Yeah, I've got a big gash on my left shin. Yeah, and I'm a bit self-conscious of it, so I might cover it up next week with some long socks or something. But well worth it, mate, well worth it. And I'm guessing I missed the best bit of the show, which was you defending Russell Martin already, I imagine.
I haven't defended Russell Martin. Yeah, but I suspect that this whole episode, then we start talking about Norwich, it's going to be, yeah, jokes
Jake
about
Watson
that.
Derby this week.
It's great, because I can just pass over to Darren. And, you know, first of all, Darren can say that, A, I'm not a Norwich fan.
I've got a few questions for Darren, actually.
Yeah, and listen, I want you lads to ask the questions today, yeah, so there can't be any accusations of any kind of bias.
We won't ask about the football, we're going to ask about you, so.
I think last time he revealed that, or said, that I think I'm the nicest centre-half he's ever played against, which is correct. I think that was it, wasn't it? I think other than that, he was actually rather complimentary about me. Well, I think called me a lanky streak of piss at the start, but...
Disappointing, sorry.
After that, I think it was quite nice. But so Darren's going to join us in about 10 minutes' time. So we'll obviously in 10 minutes' time, we'll talk about Norwich. We'll do a Hwaiya, we'll do a Dearick Flair, a couple of really good pieces that one we've been sent in, and B or two, an update on one of the ones we had a couple of weeks ago. But let's have more of a chat about this Southampton game. Jordan, just because you were there, you know, it's an interesting one, because at halftime, it was 3-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, because obviously we missed the third.
Well, this was the thing. So I missed the first one. I missed the third one because the first one was after 20 seconds and we were busy shouting at Southampton fans because they shouted some rather unsavory things about Kunvi Shai during the minute silence. So we missed the first goal. And then the third one, we'd obviously headed down to go to the toilet. But whilst the result and the performance was very good, I do think that, I wouldn't say it was even, but we were quite open, weren't we, in the first half? Not quite as much as what they were, but for the neutral, it must have been a very enjoyable game to watch. You know, I still do think we are quite easy to create chances against.
Yeah, it was open, but I think that's just the way that Southampton play as well, and it made for a good game. Whereas I think when we play at home, teams are just going to come and put 10 behind the ball, and it will probably be more difficult for us. And you know, we actually all seem to think that we were playing Norwich first on the last pod, but
that's my fault.
We said that Southampton and Norwich would be the acid test, if you like. And if you look at that Southampton game, then so far we passed it with flying colours, because I thought that was, well, it was the best we played by a long way. Yes, we were open, but at the same time, I don't recall them missing like a gilt-edged chance. Like the goal came from a mistake from Doyle, and anything else they really created seemed from memory to be sort of 20-yard shots from outside the box. I think Hermansen made one really good save in the first half, but other than that, was pretty comfortable. So the thing that pleased me the most was obviously we've had majority of possession in every game. Yeah. Whereas this, I mean, I know we still had 45% possession, which is still, you know, it's not a million miles behind what Southampton had. But it also showed that counter-attacking football, we can do really well. I mean, the first goal, again, we pressed high and pinched it, almost effectively on the edge of their own box. Again, the same with the second goal. Beautiful pass from Dewsbury Hall. Great run from Casey, and great two-touch finish as well. The third goal, obviously, like you say, we didn't see. But I've read it was a 33 pass move, yeah, which is incredible. Yeah, it was.
I feel like we missed out a good one there. 33 pass build up.
Well, obviously, on, you know, in the concourse, it only showed Mavadidi's turn, and yeah, fair play to Wilf, because I've been critical of him in that position, but he took it like a striker. And then, you know, Mavadidi should have squared it to Vardy in the second half. Iheanacho should have had a goal as well. But Mavadidi's goal, our fourth goal, I thought was, he took it so well.
Yeah,
I mean, he broke from what, 70 yards? And he was absolutely lightning.
And you've got to finish that as well, haven't you? When you've got two men either side, it's three against the keeper.
Particularly when you fucked up the previous one as well.
Yeah, two goals.
I think KDH put something on Instagram saying it's a good job that you put that one in.
Yeah.
What really made me laugh about that goal, if you watch the replay, is that Harry Winks is flying forward with the other two lads either side, and he gets to the halfway line, and I think he just thinks, I can't, there's no point, I can't be arsed, we're going to score anyway, and he just stops.
Yeah, and I do think that's interesting, though, with the fact that it is KDH to the left of him. And I know we've spoken about this before. I thought it was outstanding on the night, and that pass to Casey McAteer. I know it's such a cliche thing you throw about, but, you know, if that was De Bruyne or if that was Iniesta, but that pass is absolutely exquisite, you know, through an eye of a needle. And the composure, obviously, from Casey is great. But once again, you know, even with the Mavadidi goal, the fact that it is Kieran Dewsbury-Hall who is bombing up past anyone, that the energy levels of that man is just absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, if he can add that quality, which he did on Friday, there is a hell of a player there. There is.
Yeah, I mean, that was his best game, wasn't it, from since the Coventry game. And like I say, you know, the pleasing thing was we didn't have a huge amount of the ball. We looked lethal on the counter-attack. But the most pleasing thing, like you said, Jake, we were a bit open. I didn't think we were particularly that good again. I think that was the best we've played, but probably for about an hour. And I still think there's more to come. And the thing about us, you know, against Hull, we missed quite a few chances. They weren't as clear-cut. But we could have had six against Southampton. We still didn't finish every chance we had.
Yeah.
So the exciting thing for me is, as much as that was our best display of the season, it wasn't a complete performance. And I still think that there's more to come from us.
Yeah, no, it was interesting because on last week's pod, I think I said I was quite worried about these games against Southampton and Norwich because, you know, I wasn't convinced by our performances. And, you know, this was going to be the gauge of where we are at as a side. And, you know, I was actually speaking to a Southampton fan as we were walking into the ground, and he was saying, oh, what do you think about today? And I said to him, I said, it's interesting, though, because this is the first time there was a genuine big match feel about the game. And of course, you know, the opening game against Coventry, you know, but it's the opening game. But this was the first time we thought, do you know what, we're going to have to be really good today. And there was a little bit of nerves from, you know, a fan's perspective. And we obviously passed with flying colours, like you said, because in my opinion, if you look at the teams we played so far, for me, I think Coventry will be mid-table. I think Huddersfield, Rotherham and Cardiff all could well go down, or they'll certainly be down there. And then Hull again, for me, are a mid-table team at best. So this, Jack, was the first time it had a big match feel about it. And we showed that we absolutely have the quality, you know, right now, but also, as Jordan says, there's still room to progress as a side. I mean, for me, that's kind of alleviated so many fears from the first few games on Friday night with that performance.
Yeah, I think to go back to what you said, I think Hull are right up there at the moment, and I think they've got some decent players. So I think that was a decent test. I was having this discussion with someone on Friday night, and they said, oh, we still played against a side who are pretty wasteful. It was like, Adam Armstrong and Che Adams should be two of the best strikers in the league. So
yeah,
I think that's probably as good as it's going to get in terms of quality wise. But yeah, it was really pleasing to see us come through. I mean, I was on the train for the first hour, so I was sort of following that, and I've watched it back, and the first half, I think, you know, bar our mistake, I thought we were very, very good. I mean, I don't quite know what Doyle's doing for the goal, but he just missed his footing or something. But we played some really good stuff in there, clearly helped by Southampton, who do not look comfortable in terms of how they're playing. But I think that kind of demonstrates why Maresca's doing a pretty good job. I mean, we've had a whole turnover of players. You know, it's a completely new squad and a completely new style of play, and the players are getting it. So it's, you know, Norwich will be a tough game. I think Norwich has scored the most goals in the division, but it was really pleasing, and I thought we played some really good stuff at times. Mavididi had a really good game, and I was really impressed by him. But it was one of those where I'm still a bit like, I'm still not sure, which is a bit weird given that he played so well.
There were people, Jack, in the away end before he got his goal, being a little bit critical of him in terms of his work or lack of work off the ball.
Yeah, and at one point, I think in the second half, Don Goodman was saying, you know, he's been so good on and off the ball, because I think he sort of barged Carl Water-Peters off it. He missed an absolute sitter at 3-1, which at the time I thought was going to be critical. But, you know, fair play to him. He's taken his goal brilliantly. In the interview afterwards, Vardy said he wouldn't have squared it. Vardy would have absolutely squared that. That's just the sort of striker he is. He's very, very selfless. It's going to be an interesting ride with him. It's going to be an interesting... I mean, Fatuwu, when he came on, was just utter chaos. Yes. I really love him. Like, he gets booked within a minute, does some stupid turn, gives the ball away, but then does something phenomenal. Mm. We've got some really talented young players. And again, like, Casey McAteer just sort of quietly gets on with his business and is now our top scorer, which I don't think has even been commented on. He took his goal brilliantly. It's a great run, and actually his finish is underrated, because he takes two touches. He attempted to take that first time. The fact that he takes one and puts it onto his weaker foot, I think is brilliant. So I'm genuinely excited, I think, for the first time this season about what we can do, because I think there's some real talent in the squad. And yeah, I think Maresca's doing a brilliant job. I love the fact that he was still mouthing off at 70 minutes about... I can't even remember what he was mouthing off about. I think he got booked about something.
Yeah, but he did.
I don't know. I don't want to get too carried away, because we've only beaten Southampton, and I didn't think Southampton were very good. But I thought there were some real like elements of the performance that were really, really pleasing. So yeah, and like you said, Norwich will be a really tough test, because bar their game against Rotherham, they're absolutely flying. So it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've got so much wrong so far, and I'm happy to hold my hands up. But in terms of, you know, what I was saying last week, don't think Wilfred Ndidi can play in that position. Well, he was outstanding on Friday, and yeah, in terms of the composure of his goal, but his all-round performance. You know, if you want to joke about Russell Martin as well, and then KDH in that position. I mean, he even said after the first week, I wasn't convinced by Casey McAteer, but Jack, you know, absolutely bang on to point him out, and at the end he did get that appreciation from the away support. They were singing his name, which is always nice to see, because you get the sense that it really does mean something for Casey. He's desperate for this opportunity, and he knows that, you know, this opportunity basically wouldn't have come about had relegation not happened, you know. But now he's got it, and you can tell he really wants to, and you know, so far he's taken it. Rick, also someone I'm not going to quite go full circle and say I was wrong about was Yannick Vestergaard. Mavididi was man of the match, and rightly so, a goal and two assists. But had it not been for Mavididi, I would have given man of the match to Yannick Vestergaard. I thought the amount of times that he won his headers from corners, which I know you're going to say, oh, centre-half should be, but every time it went in, I was like, Yannick's won that again. Yannick's won that one and that one. And he just felt that was his best performance for me in a Leicester shirt. And whether it was because he was back at Southampton, I don't really know how much of a factor that played in it. But I thought Yannick Vestergaard was his best performance for us, and by a country mile.
he was brilliant. Justin was as well. Between the two of them, they both defended very well, but Vestergaard was faultless. You know, the things he's struggled with, despite his size, is he usually can't head the ball away. But he was everything. He was tackled well, didn't seem to get caught out for pace, which he's done in quite a few games this season. Look, we've all been very dismissive of his coming back in and should he be in, but if he plays like he does on Friday, then he can stay in for me. I don't mind him, you know. Not going to be discriminative of him, but yeah, brilliant performance. And James Justin as well. I think we've not mentioned him yet, but he was fantastic.
Yeah, no, back in from the cold as such, wasn't it? Hasn't had many minutes, and you're right, played really, really well. Right, some really good fun and games coming up a little bit later on with a dear Ric Flair voice note, which is absolute genius, and also an update from another one, Anhuaya. We'll do that later on, but now we can talk about Norwich. Delighted to say, former Leicester and Norwich man, Mr. Darren Eady, is back on the podcast. Darren, mate, how are we doing?
Yeah, very well, mate. I'm just, it's very rock and roll for a former footballer. A cup of tea and a Nutella biscuit I'm chomping away on. So, yeah, all good, mate.
Living the dream. We're obviously pretty happy here after Friday's win. And, you know, apart from that blip against Hull, you know, we're all right. We're pretty happy. Norwich's season and, you know, I mean, last season, it wasn't fun, was it, with Dean Smith? And then when Wagner came in, it didn't really quite work. But so far this season, you're looking really good. What have you made of Norwich's season so far?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to judge Wagner on his end of season last season. He's dealing with the players he had left over from previous managers. So always difficult to try and make things happen straight away. They've made lots of signings in the summer. And I think kind of everybody can see that these signings are probably, I wouldn't say temporary, they're short term. They've brought in a bit of experience all over the pitch, a bit of resilience, which is the one thing that Norwich were seriously lacking. They've always had ability. They've always had quality in their side in terms of technical ability, but what they lacked last season was a bit of guile and know-how of the Championship, and they've certainly brought those type of players in this season and have started fairly strongly. And like Leicester, you know, the only game Norwich had probably been poor in was Rotherham, the previous game to yesterday. So poor result against them, but international break comes along. Long time to think about it, come back into yesterday's game. They battered Stoke first half, should have been 2 or 3 up. And then Stoke with a better team second half. But again, that resilience we talked about, Norwich held on for a 1-0 win where perhaps that might have been a game where they would have drew or lost last season. So, yeah, they're looking much more resilient. And that's down to players like Ashley Barnes and Shane Duffy and players like that, you know. And Jack Stacey's been fantastic at right back as well after the loss of Max Ahrens. So they've recruited well. The only disappointing factor is Josh Sargent is now going to be out for a period of time. With injury, but other than that, they're looking fairly strong. I'm really looking forward to Wednesday.
Yeah, no, it should be a good one. It really should be. I think, well, I said last week, Southampton, Norwich and Leicester, I'm now sacking off Southampton from that on the basis of what I saw on Friday. But Darren, mate, obviously, as is well publicised, my history living in Norwich, I get quite a bit of stick from these boys. And I've been saying for a little while, I really rate Russell Martin as a manager. Maybe a tad biased because of, you know, our history of knowing the guy. Obviously, you know him a lot better than me. But what do you make of Russ? Because obviously he has attracted quite a lot of airtime on this podcast. But yeah, it's not going brilliantly so far at Southampton. But I thought kind of pre that he was showing all the signs of being a really talented manager.
He was. I think when it happened and he went to Southampton, I was beginning to think, is this that step at the wrong time for him? I felt as if Southampton were in a position where they were potentially going to, as they have done, lose a few of their key players quite close to the season start, which they did and didn't have time to replace. And big players, we all know how difficult it is to try and make things work. And obviously a hangover from being at the Championship so long, as Leicester have done. A team where you'd expect they should start off really well. I think it's just going to happen, but it hasn't happened for them. I think Russell Martin's a good manager. I really do. As you say, you know, previously I know him well and I know what he's good at, but you're only as good as a group of players you've got. And I think a good example watching the game the other night, it was the first goal, and they sort of zoomed in on him after the first goal, and you could see him going, why have we not gone long? So it's not as if his players, he's telling them to try and keep play out and getting caught out with it. You know, the difficulty is when you've got players that you want to give them instruction, you want them to play out from the back, but they've got to recognise themselves at times when it's not on, and they've just got to go long and play off the pieces. And particularly in the Championship as well, because it's, you know, it's hectic. It's difficult. So, yeah, he's had a difficult, he will get it right, but I think he needs probably a couple of windows to get that right, to be challenging. But I have to say, Leicester was superb last night as well. You know, you can't take that away from Southampton, the fact that they were poor. You have to give credit to how good Leicester were. And that's the best I've certainly seen them so far this season. A team that's come down from the Premier League, big expectations, supposed to hit the ground running. I think for the first few games, you know, as I'm sure you guys have said, it was probably tougher than you thought. The results were just kind of getting over the line, winning by the odd goal. But last night, I thought they hit the ground running. And that's what I'd expect from for the rest of the season now. They've kind of found their feet in the Championship.
Okay, one last one from me, and then I'm going to hand over to the lads with all the questions. But as a former player, interested with Russell Martin, because, you know, a very obvious style in terms of possession. You know, he's done well in his previous jobs. But I always find it bizarre, Darren, when you have a manager who is a former defender and his weakness appears to be setting up a defence, because, you know, it's not just that game. It's been kind of been a common theme with his teams that defensively they're not great. I always find that strange. Why can't he set up a defence?
Well, I think he can. Again, it's down to the personnel he's got. I look at defending as a whole now across even the Premier League right through football. I don't see a great deal of absolutely quality defenders out there. They're all almost kind of midfielders trying to play in defence. You know, they try and play out from the back. They've almost become... It's a different era of football. It's a very different way of playing football. And I think those traditional defenders are just not there anymore. I mean, you tell me, you know, how many defenders could you name in the Premier League or throughout the leagues you think are top-class defenders? And you know, that's first and foremost their jobs. There's so much more expected of them now, and particularly the way the fashionable player of trying to play out from the back, which Southampton did, to their credit, you know, for many years in the Premier League and did the success at it. So it's hard to get those habits out. It's hard to break those habits. I'm sure he's working on that. And to be fair, all he has to do is show the players the video the next day and get them sat down and say, look, this is the time when you recognise them. It's all getting a bit tight at the back. Just take the pressure off yourselves. You know, you don't have to keep possession of the ball every single time. Keep saying possession is king. It's not always. You know, you get yourself into trouble, play forward into areas. It doesn't even matter if the other team's defenders are winning the ball and heading it back. You know, you've then got a 50-50 chance of picking up the pieces. It's just, there's this relentless kind of focus on trying to play out from the back from lots of teams when they haven't got the quality to be able to do it. And it's as simple as that. I just don't think the personnel are good enough to do it.
Darren, thanks for coming on the pod again. Great to have you on. What I really enjoyed about you coming on last time was that you gave Jake a load of stick. And I actually wanted to ask you a question about Jake, because he has talked Norwich and Russell up relentlessly all season.
Yeah, you do know Jake's full of shit, though, don't you?
Well, this is what I want to ask you about. Speaking of being full of shit, is he actually a Leicester fan? And is he not a confused Norwich fan? Because you and him go way back, I think.
Yeah, I think it depends on who's doing the best at the time, quite honestly, with Jake. I think he's one of those. You know, he promised to get, as I've said on the last one, he promised to get a Teemu Pukki tattoo on his arse, which he still hasn't done. So he flips from one to the other. He's a bit of a fair-weather football fan, I think. You know, when things are going well for a team, he'll follow them more than he will do the other one and big the other one up. You know, he tends to ignore the ones when they're going through a bit of a difficult period.
Thanks. That's just confirmed what we all thought.
Right. I mean, I'm just going to have to jump in there. I mean, Darren is definitely joking. So for anyone listening...
You look like he's joking.
Who believes Darren, I'm not a Norwich fan. I don't know how many times I've said
this. Jake, you show all the signs. You don't like Ipswich and the manager there that I can't remember his name now.
Kieran McKenna,
you don't like him.
I've got no problems with
you. You love Norwich. You've said they're the best team in the division.
I think they might be.
I have to say, when we used to work together, Jake, it was a while before I actually did find out that Jake was a Leicester fan.
Darren, this isn't true.
Because we worked together in Norwich, there was always talk about Norwich. There was never really any talk of Leicester until they won the Premier League. And then all of a sudden, he popped out of the thing, found he comes to work in the Leicester top.
As hilarious as this is, people are going to believe you, Darren. So please stop it. As funny as all you guys find this.
No, I've always been aware that Jake's a Leicester fan, but I think he is a Leicester fan, first and foremost, but he does have a soft spot for Norwich, simple as that, because he spent a lot of time here, worked here. I would certainly say look, Norwich, Leicester's his number one without a doubt, but I think he's just as keen to see how Norwich do well as probably just as much as Leicester, I think.
No. What I do is I'm in a privileged position, Darren, where I know lots about Norwich. So here I'm just trying to impart some knowledge and be helpful.
Okay.
But they're trying to spin it round as if I'm some kind of Norwich fan, and really I'm just offering a service of letting them know, you know, how good this Norwich team is, but obviously they don't appreciate it. But
can you anyway. can you offer such a service on other teams in the league or just Norwich?
I mean, if people want to talk about Kings Lynn, I follow them just as closely as Norwich, because I used
not
to
a team in the area.
Yeah, because I used to cover them as well. I mean, that's the reality. I covered Norwich, so I know lots about them. So that's it.
Yeah, no. To be fair, it is, you know, he is a Leicester fan since they won the Premier League.
Right. I'm going to put you on mute in a minute. Right, Rick. What's your question? Which I'm sure is going to be.
I've got a question.
Nice.
So. I want to know, Darren, have you ever been stung by a wasp when wearing a Norwich shirt? Because I used to have a yellow Jack Wills T-shirt, right? I wore it 3 times. I got stung every time I wore it and had to bin it. So I'm wondering, did you ever have a problem with wasps in that shirt? Because I think September's a great time to play Norwich.
I think it, do you know what? I think it's the fact you're wearing a Jack Wills T-shirt. I think that's what it was. Maybe. to be fair, I can't say I have. I always remember, like, used to play golf a few times and have perhaps a yellow T-shirt on. You get those little black midges everywhere. They used to foot track, but it's never been a wasp attractor.
Never been a wasp.
So, yeah, never been a wasp. Although, it's a story, but when I was a kid, I've actually, my mum was allergic to, she had to have insulin. She used to get wasp things and she needed to have insulin for the reaction she had. But when I was a kid, I was on my BMX and, I was going over a ramp and we sort of set the ramp up like you do as kids in a field in the middle of nowhere. You know, parents aren't looking after you, doing what you want, basically. There's crap and, you know, danger everywhere, essentially. And I flew over the top of this jump, landed in this long grass the other side, and there's a wasp's nest in it. And I remember, like, feeling all these things and running home to my mum, pulling off my top. And I had about 30 wasps dead in my side of my T-shirt. They'd all stamped all over my body. So I was lucky that, like, I didn't have the reaction on my mum did, because I definitely would have died. Because it was literally covered in wasps. I pulled my top off. There's about 30 wasps dropped out dead.
Good, yeah.
But I survived. So there's good part of the story. And all's well that ends well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cheers, mate. Right.
Jordan.
Darren, I think I might be right in saying, Jake, that Darren is the first guest we've had on twice. Is that right?
Yes. I would. I think so, yeah.
I think if he gives you any more stick, I think the hat-trick ball is going to have to wait, isn't it? But Darren, you mentioned the Timu Pukki tattoo, and as it's the Jake Watson derby on Wednesday,
fuck's sake.
I think surely the ball is in your court. There's got to be some sort of bet on the game.
Well, funnily enough, I think if you ask most people who knew Jake in this area where I live, they would think he is an Norwich fan.
They wouldn't. They really wouldn't.
They wouldn't really know he's a Leicester fan, because to be fair, like, as Jake said,
I was like the only Leicester fan in the area. That was literally the way anyone knew me.
He was very good at his job, and he talked about Norwich with a passion when he was working on Norwich. So I would say most people in this area know Jake would say, who does Jake support? They'd go Norwich. Of course they would. But, you know, he's doing a job. You know, it's like anything, isn't it? When you move somewhere, you've got to do your job. You've got to do it to the best of your ability. And Jake does that. To be fair to Jake, he's pretty good at what he does, because he has everybody fooled that he's a Leicester fan.
There's got to be a photo of him knocking about in a Norwich shirt.
Is there any questions about football, or is this just going to be like this for the whole half hour?
So, I don't know. I think
we can get going.
I don't know for Jake if he's wanting a draw on Wednesday. Is he wanting to, like, score a draw just to keep everyone happy? Is he one of those?
In all seriousness, I mean, so growing up, no, I am literally the only Leicester fan, as you'd imagine, in Norwich, like, genuinely. So that is kind of how you know. So when it And actually, there was a period when, like with Paul Lambert, that the Norwich were actually better than Leicester. And so to a degree, that rivalry becomes even bigger. It, you know, you want Leicester to be better than Norwich. So, like, if you find yourself in a situation where the two teams are in different leagues, you know, and Norwich are going through a difficult spell, then, yeah, absolutely, I'd like to see them do well. But when it actually comes to Leicester against Norwich in the same league, I actually want Leicester to win even more so than any other game, because you want them bragging rights. Because, as George says, it is effectively like a derby for me. It's bragging rights over my mates. So, yeah, I don't want a draw. More than anything, I want to win.
You just say mates. Have you got some mates?
I mean, I'm going to have one less by the end of this podcast.
Work associates, I think you can call them.
Anyway,
right. So you do want Leicester to win then, Jake?
More than anything else, I want Leicester to win.
Have you got one of those half and half scarves?
No.
Leicester Norwich one. Have you not? Oh,
no. I haven't.
Well, I'm going on Wednesday, Jake, so that can be arranged.
Where are you sitting? You're in the Norwich end, Jake.
I'm literally on the segregation bit.
In the Norwich bit?
No, it's obviously, you know where they segregate the away support and the home end?
Yeah,
it's in the Norwich and Peterborough, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so dependent on what the score is, I can just flip between and over. Right. I wanted to ask Darren about any of the football now, or are we exhausted all of that? Yeah.
I've never been exhausted of that.
I've got a question. So, Connor Cody and Harry Winks, Darren, have been massive signings for us. I know Connor Cody hasn't actually even played yet, but we still feel like he's actually had an impact. You know, they're going to be big earners at the football club. Like Norwich, kind of trimming the wage bill and bringing through young players and untried players from abroad has kind of been the model for a little while, which kind of Leicester then moved towards this year to cut the cost. But you mentioned Shane Duffy and Ashley Barnes, two players who I think neutrals or certain Leicester fans will be thinking, oh, they're crap, they're past, we saw them in the Premier League, they weren't good enough. But actually, for this level of football, they're perfect, aren't they, in terms of that mix of experience and then the quality that they are. Because, you know, other people said similar about Winks and Cody, but actually when you see them in the Championship and you add them with that right blend of that young players, yeah, I feel like those guys have made a similar impact to what those two have done at Leicester.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to compare the two as they sit now, because I think Norwich are a very different model when they dropped down from the Premier League the first time and got straight back up. They had quality players, and they've had to cut their cloth accordingly, because this season, obviously, the parachute payments have gone. Leicester's still in a privileged position where they've still got the ability to go out and pay top money for players and you know, still on top wages. You know, look at someone like, you know, we know how much Jamie Vardy's on. You know, it's no secret that there's no way Norwich will be able to sustain that type of funding. So Leicester still can. So that's why it's imperative they get straight back up. So they've been able to bring the likes of Connor Cody and Harry Winks. Norwich simply wouldn't be able to do that. Even probably, you know, the first time they come out of the Premier League, they wouldn't have been able to do that, because Norwich is a very different model to Leicester. I think if you take that side out of it, in terms of the actual players they've signed, I would agree. I think Leicester have been clever in what make sure they're retaining players and signing players, or some players that have played in the Championship and or in the Premier League or in the English game. Norwich went down the route of signing lots of foreign young players and trying to bring them on, selling them on, making money on them, as they did with Buendia. That didn't work out after Buendia. You know, the signings they made weren't great. They struggled to shift any on, and they're now loaning them out left, right and centre just to get them off the books. And it was difficult because I think they might have been better if they had those kind of experienced players around them and that knowledge. They didn't have that. They were such a young squad last season, but also they had nothing on the pitch that could drive them on. And you know, I watch, and we talk about Ashley Barnes and his leadership on the pitch, because, you know, he's in the days of centre forward, he'll always be judged on his goals, but he's never been prolific wherever he's gone. But you watch him play and he's literally driving every single player on the pitch. And that's something Norwich didn't have last season. They would have melted last season and lost 1-0 or lost 2-1 to Stoke, or drew 1-0 to Stoke. But the difference with him is, and Shane Duffy and Stacey to a certain extent, and that experience they've now got, is they're driving those players through and getting results done. And that's what it's about in the Championship. You know, Norwich aren't going to remember in 2 months' time playing at home against Stoke and it was a crappy 1-0 win. They remember they won and they've got 3 points, and it's just about ticking over, getting those points on the board. And so I think similarly with Connor Cody and Harry Winks, they brought that experience in to know the game straight away, can hit the ground running, because it is difficult for those foreign players to settle in. Norwich had, I mean, it's ridiculous. They had, I think, 6 or 7 players at starting games last season. Perhaps not that much, but their English was really poor. So you've got interpreters everywhere. Now, they're young lads. It's very difficult for them to understand the pace and the tempo of the Championship, let alone the Premier League. So it didn't work out for Norwich, and they've had to readdress the way they've recruited this season. But I would say certainly, perhaps Leicester have looked at the way Norwich have gone about things and think that hasn't worked. But they've got the financial ability to be able to still do the players like Connor Cody and Harry Winks. And they will stand them in good stead. You know, I fully expect Leicester to go straight back up. Sometimes it can be difficult to start in the Championship with when you drop down, first of all. But they've got through those first period of games, at times not playing brilliantly. But as I say, last night, I thought they were great. Looked a threat every time they got the ball, defended well. And it's not a strong league. It's actually a lot stronger this season than it was last. So, you know, it's a much more difficult, I think, league to get out this season. But I would anticipate Leicester have got more than enough to do that.
I thought Rick had a question, but I'll jump in if he's not.
I have, but you go, mate. I'll go after.
Sure, wait. It leads on from that, Darren, because obviously Cody's not played, but watching Winks, he's just by far above the level of the Championship. But it's quite arrogant because we're watching the players thinking, well, will they be good enough for next season if we go up? But do you think it was a blessing in disguise, Leicester going down? Because, you know, we've got rid of a few players that have been there for far too long on high wages. And it feels like, I know we've started well, but it does feel like a bit of a blessing in disguise that we can kind of rebuild in the Championship. And like you say, on a similar financial structure that we had before, obviously we've lost the TV money, but in terms of the Championship, we're probably the richest club still. So it does feel to me like it's a bit of a blessing in disguise, and we can still bring players of that quality in.
It's only a blessing in disguise if you get back up. It's tough if you don't. You know, the arse can fall out of a club very quickly if you don't. We've seen it with plenty of teams. Norwich's financial structure is a little bit different, so they can manage that a little bit better. But when clubs have got big players on big money, it's so difficult to shift them on first and foremost when you get relegated. But if you get back up, you can go there again. And do you know what? It's actually, we always said it as Norwich as a club, sometimes when you're in the Premier League, and obviously Leicester had the success they did and played in Europe, but then they've had, you know, 2 or 3 years of, I would say, mediocrity, but, you know, a bit more of a struggle. And actually the relief of sometimes for fans to go and watch games when you're winning, and potentially winning a trophy and getting some celebration at the end of the season. It's a break from that, you know. Expectations change, of course, when you're in the Premier League, and nobody ever expected Leicester to win the Premier League. It was magnificent. But even once they did, you can see that next generation of fans coming in, and they forget about Leicester being the team they were 15, 20 years ago, languishing in the Championship and up and down, and being a bit like Norwich were, you know. They see the success and they want that constantly, but it's so difficult to maintain. The last time I said, though, I was so disappointed with Leicester last season. The quality they had in the side, and I think you've all said it. It was I was shocked to see them go down. But like I said, sometimes if you get back up, it's a blessing in disguise. But you've got to get straight back up. And we all know how hard it is again then to stay in the Premier League again. But a bit of success, a trophy win or a league win in Leicester's case, if they get that, is quite nice, you know, a break from the kind of monotony of staying in the Premier League, which kind of sounds a weird thing to say, because I'm sure most fans would take that all day long. But actually to win something and have a bit of joy and winning games every week is a pleasure to see, isn't it? Because, you know, Leicester last season, they didn't string many wins together, did they? So to see a sustained period of winning games, whatever level that's at, it's just nice for the fans to re-engage with the players and the players to re-engage with the fans as well.
No, it makes a lot of sense, I think. 100%. Rick, what's your question, mate?
Yeah, I was looking through. There's been so many players that have played for Norwich and Leicester. One I wanted your opinion on, because we obviously saw him and he was very crap for us. Lee Marshall. Honest opinion, please.
Well, it was
great question.
I was going to say lucky enough to be around that time at Leicester, and it wasn't just Lee. And look, Lee's a great lad. Lee did okay for Norwich, but it wasn't. I don't particularly blame Lee Marshall. I think when you look at the back to that era and that period of time, there's only one person you can blame for those type of signings, and people have talked about it many times, and that was Peter Taylor. He single-handedly dismantled what was a successful side. You know, and of course, every manager wants to come in and put their stamp on things, but you know, I think he signed him, Junior Lewis, Trevor Benjamin, Matty Jones, all these players that were nowhere near the quality we had at the time. And it changed about really quickly. And that was the surprise for me, more than anything, was seeing the type of players that were coming in that I felt were probably, you know, good players, but they were never going to maintain us at the level we were at when I was at Leicester, you know, up and around the sort of top end of the Premier League. It was sad to see. I have to say, you know, as I say, fortunately, I didn't get relegated with Leicester because I was injured. But it was just, I was actually glad not to be part of that team at the time, because it felt like it was just on the downward spiral. And as I say, it's difficult to blame one single person, but I think it was an accumulation of all those players together that just weren't good enough to keep Leicester at the levels they were at. Nicely avoided that, wasn't it?
Very nice, yeah.
So he's crap then.
So Lee was...
I'm joking. You don't have to say that. Right, Jack, any questions?
I just want to keep asking about you and your half and half scarf. So I think you've taken enough abuse for one episode, Jake.
I have said previously that, you know, we did, as kids, have to do football sessions at Norwich. And you had pictures, obviously we've spoken about this picture before, pictures with a Norwich first team player at the end of the week. And I only ever had two pictures, and they happened to be with Darren and the other one with Ewan Roberts. And you know, so even back then, when you know, neither of you had even played for Leicester at that point, I still knew that it was going to happen. I must have subconsciously.
And this is where that association's come from, because obviously, when I first met you, you showed me this picture, and I remember it happening. And you were like, you know, you're obviously 2 foot nothing at the time, and I've got my hands on your shoulder, kind of leaning over you. This, and you've got a Norwich like the sort of the weekly session that was there with the course you were on, this Norwich badge all over it.
Yeah. It's not a Norwich kit, though. It wasn't a Norwich kit, though.
Sounds like a Norwich kit.
Just a top with a Norwich badge on.
Yeah. But again, that was why my association was, this is why I got Norwich, because we then recreated that. And if you look on my Instagram somewhere, there's the picture of me and Jake recreating that picture and him again next to it. Actually, honestly, why don't you just chat away? I might be able to find it. We can have proof then. I can show this on screen of
I've
Jake.
I've never denied the picture's existence, you know?
That photo would be lovely for the next pod, Jake.
I think that photo should be the cover of this pod, to be honest. And if you send it to me, I'll do some magic with my cutting.
Yeah.
That's taking some time. But yeah, so we created the picture. And obviously, Jake is now about 8 foot tall. And he was leaning on my shoulders and had a big, massive beard. So it was very different to where we were when we first took it. But it was a brilliant picture. I loved it. But that is why I thought, again, because Jake was so good at his job, I thought he was an Norwich fan, because he said, "Oh, well, let's recreate this picture. I had this picture taken when you were younger, like fanboying out." And then all of a sudden, he turns around when Leicester win the Premier League and says he's a Leicester supporter. So things changed quite quickly. Jake.
Right. I do have a question about Ewan, though. So I've actually asked Darren, Ewan, a couple of times to come on the podcast. But each time, with it being a Sunday, he's basically said he's been out for Sunday dinner. So he's not come on. I mean, is Ewan a big Sunday roast eater? Because I would have thought that he would have come on by now, you know, with the relationship I thought me and Ewan had. But he's still not been on.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Ewan's great as well. I think he does a lot with Leicester TV, doesn't he? So
yeah.
Whether he just tends to switch off on a Sunday, I don't actually see him doing much on a Sunday, to be fair. But he does go out and spend a lot of time with his wife on a Sunday. So perhaps he just thinks that is the day where he needs to chill out and just relax. But keep pestering him. I'm sure he'll give in one day. And if I see him, I'll just say to him, either that or chuck him a few quid. That might get him on. That might turn his head.
Well, I'm thinking, I mean, you'll be there Wednesday, right?
I actually won't, and this is what
you're not.
So I've got to go to, I've got to fly out to Gran Canaria for 3 days to film for Norwich.
Oh, poor you.
It's work, Jake. You know what it's like. Yeah. It's work. So I'm flying out on the Tuesday, filming on the Wednesday, and flying back on the Thursday. So it's all going to be relatively quick. But yeah, so unfortunately I won't be, I'm gutted because obviously, you know, being both my teams, that's the one that I most wanted to be part of and see happen. But yeah, unfortunately I'm not going to be there. I'm gutted.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say,
I found the picture. Where's the camera?
Because I actually did delete it off my Instagram back in the day before I realized I could just archive. And there you are. Everyone on YouTube can now see that picture.
There's
Norwich kit.
There's Norwich.
No, it's a white T-shirt with lots of things on it. And one of the things is a Norwich badge.
It's like a Robert Fleck on the back, I think it says
there. It does not. Anyway,
there he is.
Norwich badge.
We'll stick that picture on social media, Darren. If you'd like to send that to me, I will make sure it ends up in the group and on socials. But yeah, no, I was going to say, if you see Ewan on Wednesday, you can ask him to come on the pod next week and we can talk about obviously the result from the game. But lads, if we've got nothing else for Darren, are we ready to let him go? Yeah. Well, look, mate, you are the only guy to have come back on the podcast. So clearly, You were appreciated. And there was lots of good feedback, actually, the first time as well. You know, great value. I know we like to take the piss, but, mate...
it's either someone else let you down or, you know, as a last shout. No, mate, it's always a pleasure. We spent a lot of time together, as much as we do mess about. Jake's a good friend of mine, so, yeah, I'm always happy to help out. And I've just sent him that picture as well, so he has got it.
I've seen it. It's there. Delete. All right, Darren, mate, thank you for your time. It's much appreciated. And well, if we both get promoted, we'll get you back on again next season.
Cool, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? That's the dream, mate. Just...
All right, top man, Danny, take care.
Thanks, Darren. Cheers, Darren.
Bye.
Right, there we are. The wonderful Darren Eady. Will he come back on for the hat trick? I'm not quite sure. I can take another half an hour of that. But he has shared the picture. And we speak about this all the time because usually it's a Facebook time hop. And then we share it. But yeah, the first time around, obviously, because Darren, I wouldn't say is the tallest of individuals. So when I was, I think I'm about 8 or 9 years old in that picture. And then when I was, I think I'm going to say 25, I'm now a good foot and a half taller than Darren. But yeah, we'll share that picture on social media. It is quite funny. And once again, I'll reiterate, it's just a Norwich badge on a white T-shirt. And I'm not a Norwich City supporter. So there we are. Glad we cleared all that up. But once again, Darren, great value, lads.
Brilliant.
Very good.
Really good. He's very quick, isn't he? Very quick-witted. Yes. Love him.
That was superb, Jake. That was that was all I wanted to find out, really. And he's confirmed all of my fears.
Well, there was next to no football questions. It was, can you wear yellow T-shirts and not get stung? And then, is Jake a Norwich fan? That's all we got from you, lads. So thanks for that input. I tried to ask...
Jordan did, to be fair.
Yes. No, I'm obviously joking. I'm all for it. It's a good banner.
I asked him if he had any evidence of you wearing a Norwich shirt. And I think he said no. But there is there. He's literally just sent it to you. That Norwich shirt has a Norwich badge on. And don't Photoshop it out before you post it.
I won't. And people can see.
I'm going to Photoshop another one in. So,
I mean, I don't know why I'm saying this on the podcast. It's only going to come back and bite me on the backside. But as a kid, there is actually a picture of me wearing a Man United shirt, which my mum always likes to tell people about because she doesn't recognise as a kid that you don't really choose what you wear. It's your parents. And there is a picture of me wearing a Man United shirt when I'm very, very young. And she likes to tell people that I used to be a Manchester United fan when I really genuinely wasn't. So I'm also a Norwich and Man United fan. So there we are.
Going very well, Jake.
Well, I'm just giving you more ammunition.
Giving yourself a massive hole there.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I think, because there's still bits and pieces to talk about, I think, from Southampton, maybe we can do a bit of any other business, but we'll do that in a moment because we've got Who Are You, which Jack's going to do, and a Dear Ric Flair. Can we do Dear Ric Flair first? Yeah. Right. I just need to play some music as always. And I believe that it is labeled help, which I quite need right now. Is there? Right. Here we go. Help. I need somebody help. Not just
anybody help. You know, I need someone. Ric Flair.
Yeah. So, Dear Ric Flair, a little bit different today because we haven't asked for voice notes and questions in, but we have got stuff to speak about which is relevant to Dear Ric Flair. And also, I think rather fittingly, Rick has a poem today, which he's going to share with us, which I'm very much looking forward to. But shall we start with the dear Ric Flair that we had a couple of weeks ago? I've deleted it, but for people who obviously listen regularly, they'll remember. What was the name of the chap? Was it Jack?
Jack Smith, he sent one in about, he was in a dilemma about his cricket team because they'd lost five on the spin and they looked like they were going to blow promotion.
And your advice to them was to kind of arrest the downward spiral?
Well, I mean, I shouldn't have given this away because it's now going to be copied by
it's gold,
all elite.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, all elite sports coaches, but Scotch egg in a sock.
And obviously.
They just belt all participants around the head. It doesn't hurt because it's Scotch egg. And then you eat the bits of sausage, meat and egg. And then you go out there and do the business. Which, drum roll, please.
So they've had two games since this advice. How have they done?
Won both games and got promoted. And
it's magical.
I mean, I knew they would. It was literally... It's and here's Darcy as well.
Right on cue.
Get Bing on. We'll get Oscar to put Bing on for you, pal. But yeah, and he can't get it on. All right, I'll be in a minute. Go on. Yeah, so fantastic news to Barwell Cricket Club.
Yeah, no, absolutely remarkable. Do you want us to fill a minute while you go stick Bing on? Because we do need you back.
Oh, yeah, go on then. Yeah, fill a minute. I'll be back in. Go on.
Okay. So we need Rick back in a couple of moments' time because we've got a voice note which has been sent in, which is one of the best things I've ever heard. Like, generally, I think it's that good. And also, as you said, we've got Rick's poem. Jack, was there anything else for dear Ric Flair?
No, there wasn't. But this voice clip, because I actually met the guy who sent the original one in, and he said there was a really good one for the live night. He's created a extra Foxes Talk account just to protect his identity, which we obviously will do.
Yeah.
And when you listen to it, it's just a superb piece of work.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I won't lie. When I received said voice note, I've sent it to some people privately already because I thought it was just that funny. So as soon as Bing is back on, here we are.
Bing sorted.
We can do it. So shall we do the voice note first before your poem? Yeah?
So yeah, do it.
So Jack, can we say who the voice note is from? Or literally just this is what we've had sent in?
No, they asked to be remain anonymous.
Right. Okay, then. So we had this sent in.
Here, Rick, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. There probably was a problem with the fax machine or something. But anyways, fuck it, what's been up? I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I got a room full of your scalp reports and your postman. I got a tattoo of your name across my chest. I even signed Tete and three wingers for you this summer, but you still bitch and moan. Rick, what can I do to prove to you that I'm a good director? Susan's jealous, cause I talk about you 24/7. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is John. P.S. We should get a beer together.
It's absolutely remarkable. Sorry, let me tell if you haven't got that. And again, even though it is good enough to hear twice. But I do really wish that we could talk more about who did send that in. But I mean, dear Rick, that is literally...
That's outstanding, isn't it?
Your biggest fan.
Oh, yeah, that's one we've had yet.
Yeah,
it is.
Comfortably.
It really is. Yeah, I don't know who it is. Jack won't tell us. He's protecting their own identity, which is very admirable.
Sorry.
Again.
Should we just do it again, since it's that good?
Have we got any more sound bites for tonight? I know we wanted... Jack wants that Chinese meal one. We need to get that one on.
Well, how does that end again? When he's getting arrested, isn't it? It's the bloke...
This is democracy.
Oh, you know judo, sir.
It was just, you know, there was, you know, the bloke who escaped from prison.
Yes, recently?
The bloke who escaped from prison.
Apparently, well, I was really impressive until I found out he managed to escape 2 miles.
Yeah, he said 6 words. And people were just, Twitter being brilliant as ever. We're just going on and like using Democracy Manifest as the example. So
yeah, well, I mean,
for what crime? Eating a meal.
Really unhelpfully, when I put in all these clips into this area in which we record the podcast, I never really label them up very helpfully, as you know, it is evident when I say, oh, where's that clip? And it's the same ones we play each week. And there's so many in there. So I'll be honest, there's nothing else in there. And I'd have to click all through them all to find any that are any good. Rick, shall we do your poem?
Again, yeah,
I feel though that we should have prepared, and I know it's hindsight is a beautiful thing. You need some kind of music underneath your poem. Do you know what I mean? Like a nice gentle bed.
Nice little melody.
Yeah, exactly. Does it need one? Can we make do?
Feel free to. I think we can make do without, but you could layer something over if you wanted to in the background. But I've had a lot of people.
I've got Barry from EastEnders.
Go on.
Does that work?
Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah, it does.
I've got.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
Are you sure? Yeah. I was joking.
Yeah. Oh, what? You're going to have it on in the background whilst I say it?
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, turn it down a little bit and I'll. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
So, I've had a lot of people reach out to me saying, what's going on with Seagrave? You know, I know you've been joking about how unsafe it is, but it generally beggars belief. You know, we've obviously heard the news about Tom Cannon's out injured. Whether he turned up injured or he's got injured since he's been here, but it really does obviously shine further light on the place. So anyway, thought I'd write a little poem about the place. All right?
Is this music ready? Working, by the way? Are we happy with this?
I'm happy with it.
Yeah, okay.
There was a gaff called Seagrave, which contains more nightmares than the BFG's cave. Some refer to it as the gates of hell, especially for ACLs. There needs to be a full inquiry before a bunch of young men have to check into the priory. Every time I think about the place, I swear at the thought of directors swanning about it in training wear. It'll be a hotbed for talent, they said. Yet any new player steps foot on it with dread. We were told it was going to be the best. Instead, it's inundated with FOI requests. Sell it to Forrest and get back down Beaver Drive. If it was a person, it would definitely be called Clive.
A round of applause. There we are. Perfect.
Perfectly timed round of applause.
Wonderful stuff, Rick. Beautiful. I was a little bit distracted by Barry, I won't lie, but it was beautiful.
Well, I mean, me and Barry, obviously, are an alliance, so hopefully that comes across okay with Barry yelping in the background, but if not...
I want us to go to Barrioke.
Yeah, well,
I wanted a big, strong Leicester boys trip to Barrioke.
Ooh.
I mean, talking of Barry's, Jordan's had his camera off for the best part of 10 minutes.
He's just come... Are you right, George?
Yeah, let's just say I've got runner's gut.
Nice.
You've missed me poem, pal.
I didn't, mate. I'd had my camera off, but I heard it. I enjoyed it, mate.
You took us with you.
You didn't have your camera off, Jordan.
You didn't have the mic off. It sounded like the Alamo.
It's a treat for the eyes and the ears, pal.
So when we played Barry from EastEnders there, that was literally to drown out Jordan from the background. That was the real reason. Jack, shall we mention our plans for Christmas?
Yeah, fuck it.
Can we? Because we haven't actually booked.
We've not got a plan, but we have an idea, Jake.
Well, you share the idea.
That's Enzo's idea.
This is Enzo's idea. So we are planning a sort of end of November, start of December, another live event, except yes. This time.
Yes.
Because last time was great and I think it worked really well, but there was quite a lot of interaction from the crowd and that was brilliant. And I was having to think about like, how do we make this work? And then I was thinking about Who Are You and the fact that Rick always wins. So what I thought we would do is the Big Strong Leicester Boys Christmas quiz.
Yes.
And there's lots of things we're going to try and do. We're going to try and get special guests, do an entire round on them. We've got Jake, you came up with a really good idea about Rick. But basically, Rick's going to be on a table on his own in a team on his own.
Take on Rick.
And you're going to have to take on Rick. And I we need to find a venue that, if anyone knows a venue that will house,
yeah,
you know, pubs are going to be quite busy at that time of year, but ideally a pub with a mic that can house.
Yeah.
Who's the quiz master?
Me.
Yeah. I mean, so I think we all can technically share it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, Rick,
you start our plans, isn't it?
Rick, I'll be honest. You can have Jordan on your team if you want.
There's a further handicap.
I'd like to call something out here.
Go on.
Go on.
Here we go.
Because I'm all right with quiz. I'm just shit at who are you.
Right. But
in the
now's your time, mate. Now's your time.
So exactly. Should we call it a quiz then, rather than who are you? If we said it's a quiz about a footballer, yeah, would you be better?
It's got a mental.
Should we try it? Jack, try it. Let's call it a quiz. Call it who are you?
It's a quiz.
Just call it a quiz and see how we get some.
Time for this week's quiz.
Quiz at seven.
But yeah, that is essentially the plan. We just we're going to do it for charity again. So we're working with Liam on that. We need to find a venue. We've got the remnants of a quiz. We can all do a round. Rick, you can sit on the table on your own with a pint of wine and a glass of hooch. But yeah, people can enter in teams. If they don't have a team, we can put you together in a team.
Exactly.
Maybe with Jordan. Jordan can do that. Maybe.
I think Rick knew what was coming there because I was going to call him out. Because
why? Jake, what?
Well, Jake put "Who are you?" in the WhatsApp group the other week, and I don't think any of us got it. But Rick guessed Steve Whitworth. And Steve Whitworth didn't play for Leicester at that time. So, you know, that's gone unnoticed. And I can prove this because I caveated it by saying it's not Steve Whitworth because he scored the winner in the 1971 Charity Shield.
I remember this happening.
I got it.
Oh, yes, it was my friend who said he's like,
yeah. You didn't actually know who it was.
No, I didn't. I didn't get it. But it was my friend's uncle who sent it to me and I didn't know who it was.
Whitworth played for Leicester.
Yes, not on the dates that Jake put in the group of this player.
That's not that bad a guess, though, Jordan.
But I'm backing up my point.
That's not telling someone off for bumping a curb and then letting someone else off who's just caused a 10-car pile-up. Come on.
Yeah. Well, look, all I'm saying is that's, you know, your wrong guesses.
That's not in the spirit of who are you. Is that what you're trying to...
Well, they're in the group, aren't they?
But no.
Jordan, I'm sorry, mate.
It's carnage.
Can we talk about who are you?
Order, because
whilst I was off, it was an utter disgrace.
it was a wonderful disgrace.
First game, right?
Oh, so Jack, do you know about this? So on the way to Southampton, I haven't mentioned this. Sam Parkin, the former Ipswich, Luton, Chelsea, Swindon striker. So he does a lot of EFL coverage for ITV and formerly Quest and now TalkSport 2. I had a message from Sam Parkin on Friday saying, just listen to the pod, in capital letters, Tony Warner. So and I was like, I couldn't, first of all, believe that Sam Parkin was using our podcast as some sort of research because he was doing the comms for the game on Friday. But equally, he listened to 20 minutes of Pussy Man Dan and then also that complete and utter carnage of Tony Warner. But yeah, Sam Parkin was a fan of the pod.
I think that gets under the skin of Leicester City. I think that's the best pre-match prep you could ever do. But anyway, to go back to the point, the game was a shambles.
It was so good, though.
We need some jeopardy involved, right? Because people are taking the piss now. Right?
Absolutely
Jordan
not.
Jordan managed to do someone that's already been featured on the pod.
Yeah.
So I think going forward, if that happens, one match bans,
yeah.
Yeah. There's been several guesses for players that haven't even played for Leicester. Again, shambles. That happens, 2-match ban.
Yeah.
And then something that's gone completely unnoticed, but I'm going to dig Rick out on this one.
Ooh. We're going for each other today, aren't we?
Someone that hadn't even played football was guessed, who happened to be a registered convicted... I don't even want to say what he did, but he wasn't a footballer.
I got his first name wrong.
Yeah, but
a criminal.
If you Google that name, the man's a criminal. So
if I'd have guessed that.
Yeah, exactly.
You could Google
it's
anyone's
it's in the past.
Name. There'll be a criminal Rick, with that name.
Rick, you guessed the criminal's name.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right? So all I'm saying is if that happens in future, three-match ban.
Mick Philpott. We'll leave Philpott.
Well, if you do that again, three-match ban.
Don't just start naming criminals.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
So going forward, I think we need to re-establish some rules in this game.
And, yeah. All right, I'm getting pants here.
Yeah.
And if Jordan wins, yeah. We have to play a song and do a little dance, I think.
Yeah, with our tops off.
With our tops off.
I really want Jordan to win.
And I've got a feeling I know what that song is. But Jack,
well, shall I tell this? Because you keep denying this. But basically, someone told me this might not be true.
Are we going to play Who Are You at any point?
No. But you know the song Moose Tea, I'm Horny?
Yeah.
So apparently when David Ornstein gets an exclusive at The Athletic, right, he runs into the office, rings a bell, and all the Athletic staff get up and start dancing, and someone plays and starts singing, I'm Horny, 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 Horny. So
is that
Jordan
true, Jordan? I can confirm from spending deadline day with him that is not true.
Oh, nonsense.
Unfortunately. But I'd like to believe
it was
true,
though. Just imagine it. You could just imagine someone ringing a bell and then you're all getting up and dancing, or when he's got another exclusive.
Maybe it was before my time. But I want to ask Jack, did you hear Jake or Rick say Tony Warner? I didn't hear it. And I don't think it was a guess. They were just talking amongst themselves.
The game was just chaotic. It was carnage from start to finish.
I think in both of our defence, me and Rick both recognised we'd recently had Tony Warner, so didn't guess Tony Warner. Do you know what I mean? We were both, well, obviously it's not him because we've had him recently. And Rick does say Tony Warner, and I say, no, we've already had him.
Yeah.
So Jordan, I mean, there's no real way out, I'm afraid, mate. You know,
it was great. It was a beautiful mess.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. It's just the best one so far. The fact we're still talking about it now.
But anyway.
It was iconic, wasn't it?
It was.
I think we just need to re-establish some order. So I think from now on, so those are the rules. I'll write them down somewhere so I remember them. But there will be bans involved for people with poor guesses. So
what if, because we now also joke that Jordan regularly says one name.
What happens if someone does do him?
Exactly.
That becomes really awkward because you just...
Yeah, okay. Shall we actually play Who Are You for this week?
Yes, but quickly, Jordan's just mentioned it. We should mention, I think it's Steve on Twitter.
Steve
who's
Potter,
done a whole
yes.
Steve Potter, what a wizard.
Work. Thank you, Steve.
What a wizard.
Dedicated a lot of time to Who Are You. He's done a spreadsheet on the scoreboard. Who's guessed the most? And various things. He's dedicated a lot of time to it. And it was interesting because I think we mentioned previously that, you know, as we well know, Ricky is the best at this. He's won loads. And somebody had said that basically we'd hardly won any, but it was 18 to Rick, isn't it? 12 to Jack, 10 to me and 1 to Jordan. So that is actually the current standings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Rick had the audacity to claim he was wrong as well. So we defended you, Steve. So
yeah.
Rick can't add up.
Right, let's actually play Who Are You, shall we? Come on, Jack, you're in charge today, mate. Take it away with new rules. So
you
going to
play
careful,
the theme tune?
Oh, yeah, shit. Sorry.
You're doing the ads, either.
No, we'll just add them in at some
point. Plug them in afterwards. It's all right.
Cool.
Right. Yes. Right, here we go.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right then. I think quite comfortably the longest ever build-up to Who Are You, if that's what we're going to call it. Some preamble, which was about 20 minutes. Jack, you are in charge today. Let's play Who Are You.
Good stuff. Right. I've picked this one thinking this would be really, really hard and only Rick's going to get this. But for reasons that will become obvious later, I'm not sure Rick's going to win this one. Okay. So,
did they play for
Norwich? Piss me off.
You're really under fire, aren't you? If you win tonight,
I'm getting all sorts.
Serious celebration.
Born on the 2nd of May, 1974, in Bristol, England.
Okay. How old does that make them?
49.
49.
49.
Is it Darren Eady?
Incorrect.
Because he was born in the West Country, even though he's a Spurs fan.
It's not Darren Eady. Not Darren Eady. Right, so played for Leicester City for one season, 2006-07, 22 games, one goal.
Andy Johnson.
Oh, my God. Fuck off.
Yeah, got it on the 22 games, one goal. Get what the ball, 3-0. Jeff Horsfield got the other two. Milan Mandrić's first game, because I got him in a headlock in a box.
I hate you so much sometimes.
You got Milan Mandrić in a headlock?
Yeah, give him a friendly knuckle rub. It was his first game. He came round.
Why were you in a box with Milan Mandrić?
It was the last time we were in a box.
And then Milan Mandrić was coming around introducing himself to everyone. It was the first game that he'd finally bought us out. It was a long-standing affair, wasn't it? He was trying to get us on the cheap. The Foxes Trust were digging their heels in, or Tim Davis, whoever it was. And, I was absolutely steaming. And, I got him in a bit of a friendly headlock. It was just a bit of a little knuckle rub and gave him a kiss. I was a big fan of Milan back then. Mm-hmm. And he obviously got Vichoy and Top involved, so can't fault him.
I'm really annoyed about that, because I thought that would take ages. And also, as you were talking about earlier, he played for Kings Lynn and started his career at Norwich. So I was gonna string this out for ages.
So the moral of the story is, don't piss me off.
Yeah, you awoke the beast.
Oh, well, there we go.
Don't poke the bear.
Andy Johnson was most famous for being the lad that got snapped in half for the
George
Battle of
Santos. Yeah, George Santos, that horrific tackle when he played for West Brom. Yeah, and it is, people haven't seen that. One of the, I think it's probably the worst tackle I've ever seen. George Santos and Andy Johnson. Yeah.
It's worse than Keane on Haaland, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely
Keane
is.
Keane on Haaland like a bloody handshake.
But yeah, so Andy was there when Darren was at Norwich. I didn't know Andy Johnson played for Kings Lynn, though. I did not know that.
Ended his career at Kings Lynn. Played for Wales as well, and said he viewed international football as a holiday.
Julian Joachim
was playing for Wales.
Julian Joachim, by the way, also played for Kings Lynn. In there,
yes, he did.
Right at the back end of his career, but anyway,
That
was over far too quickly, really, wasn't it?
But Rick, considering the preamble too, yes, I think it's exactly probably the longest game of Who Are You ever.
Yeah,
without I'm really happy with that. That's my best performance of the year.
That's annoyed me. That is.
Yeah, the fact that you remember that one goal as well is actually annoyingly really impressive. Oh.
Just giving you a little bit of context behind it.
Yeah.
Beyond how
Exactly. Show your workings out, an extra point for that, which probably does deserve, annoyingly, even if he doesn't need any more points. Mm. Right then. So, it's been a long one, hasn't it? Hour 16 we're at. Shall we go back to any other business and stuff from Southampton? Because I know we kind of jumped straight into then chat with Darren. So is there performances? Is there individuals? Is there points that any one of you three want to pick out and mention? Because obviously we've already looked ahead to the next game, haven't we?
I have one any other business from Southampton and two any other businesses.
Okay, go on then.
But I just wanted to talk about the minute silence before the game. Now, for those people who don't know what happened, I'm sure they're aware. I just want to make it clear it was just one Southampton fan that said it. And the other thing is, the Southampton fans have been brilliant in condemning it, and obviously it's not right. But I struggle to get offended by that when Leicester fans have always also done it. And the same thing happened at Hampden Park. An England fan said something. The Scotland fans were straight on it. And so my wider point is, did we need a minute's silence at Southampton on Friday? Because it just defeats the object. Like, I can understand why there's one at Hampden Park for Craig Brown. Absolutely, it makes sense and it should be observed. But the one at Southampton, if we were in the Prem, I could maybe understand it because it's a worldwide league. But it's just more hassle than it's worth, stuff like that. And bring back the minute's applause.
I was going to say, if it's more fitting of an applause, there's less issues with an applause.
And I'll never defend referees, but it puts them in an awful position because they just have to blow the whistle quickly.
Yeah.
The Southampton fans, condemned it as well, and it was just one. It was probably one pissed up idiot, but it was definitely just one person. So.
So obviously, I did tweet a video of this when it happened at the game, and I mean, my point at the time was actually directed at the policing of the situation. That was my frustration because, Jordan, you're absolutely right. This isn't Southampton fans. It's football fans. Leicester fans have done it. Everyone has done it at one point or another. Unfortunately, football does attract idiots. But my issue with it was, and why I missed that first goal, was the moment that happens, obviously, the Leicester fans react angry. Of course they do. And then the reaction to that, the response to that situation was then the police, loads of them, to then all then line up in front of the away fans to start then filming the away fans, and then at halftime escorted a load of them out, I presume, for the reaction to what that one fan did. And it just drives me mad because at that point, the Southampton fan, to my knowledge, wasn't ejected. And apparently he was then ejected at halftime and a couple of others were. But in a situation like that, would you not... Why is the reaction to go to the away fans? And I then spoke to a police officer at halftime, and he was telling me that there's apparently the CCTV which goes on the home fans, but not on the away fans. So they're filming the away fans for that purpose. But I just simply don't believe it. And again, listen, I may well be wrong, but explain to me the logic in having no CCTV on an area, the away fans, where you would ordinarily expect more trouble. You'd have CCTV there, wouldn't you? It's absolute nonsense that you wouldn't. So they're saying that they didn't need to look at the Southampton fans because the CCTV on them, and the ones who were causing trouble were then thrown out. But they needed to film the away fans. Leicester fans would never have reacted in that way had that one person not done that. So you deal with the situation in terms of why that happened. Get rid of that fan and any other situation. And the fact that then so many of those Leicester fans, I'm not sure how many, but there was seemed to be a fair few were thrown out at halftime. It angered me. It did. You are right. I don't think the minutes silence should have happened in the first place. I don't think, with the greatest of respects to what has happened, I don't think Leicester Southampton need to be acknowledging that situation. I just don't. I mean that with the greatest of respects. That did anger me. And I did speak to a police officer, and I'll be honest, whether he is lying to me or whether that is genuinely the reason behind it, just to me seemed nonsense. But yeah. Anything to add or move on to any other bits? I think, Jordan, it's just you with any other business bits.
Well, that surprises me. I might say the same thing as you.
I was at Trent Bridge yesterday watching the Foxes win, and it was absolutely bloody brilliant. Harry Swindles, unbelievable, coming in at number 8. You know, you boys know how much I love cricket, but to see a lad that's from Leicester do that in the cup final was just brilliant. And it was, you know, there are a few comments about it not being full, but the Leicester fans were unbelievably noisy. Highlight of my day was hearing an Ajoa chant at a football game. which was a bit strange. I wasn't in that stand, so I'm not sure it was the Ajoa chant, but it certainly sounded like that. But I thought the sport was absolutely brilliant, and it was brilliant to see. And it was a great day out. And definitely, I'm going to try and get down to Grace Road a few more times next year. And I think the county needs a little bit more support based on what other people are trying to do to counties like Leicester. So I thought it was a bloody brilliant day out, and well done to those boys.
Yep, love that, Jack. Rick?
When's someone going to big up the Speedway? I wanted to talk about...
you can if you want, mate.
Nah. I want to talk about Abdul Fatawu Issahaku. Okay?
Here we go. Yep.
Well, I was... didn't say a lot after the Hull game because, you know, one performance... We all know what happened with Tete.
And to be fair, in the WhatsApp group, though.
Yeah. That's private.
You lost your mind.
That's private. No, to be honest, I still think I was quite sort of considered and laid back about it. But I thought he followed up on Friday with another very solid cameo. Let's not get too carried away.
I'm not sure it was solid. It was sublime to the ridiculous, but... He's your sort of player, isn't he?
Yeah, and But I don't think he's a sort of a liability that we've got to, or a luxury that we've got to tolerate his sort of weaknesses to get the best of him. I genuinely think he can contribute and play his part defensively as well. I don't think he's one of those players that's just pure chaos and you just hope he doesn't do anything drastically wrong. I think he's going to do well. I mean, that pace and power, we haven't got a lot of that in the team. It's frightening. Whether he starts games anytime soon, doesn't matter if we're playing like we did on Friday and then bring him on. But of all the subs that came on, I thought he was the one that had more of an impact. But Cassidy, he struggled to get into it, had a few touches. It certainly didn't let us down. But the one who was the absolute pits when he came on, who I've stuck up for a lot, is Iheanacho. He got so much of the ball to bludgeon Southampton for 5-6-7-1, and he just was awful. But yeah, Fatawu, great start. Nice to have that little maverick on the bench, isn't it? And yeah, obviously I didn't say a great deal about the performance on Friday before Darren came on, but I just felt it was what we needed. 4 goals. Let's hope that we now have that confidence now to score more, because, you know, 1-0s, 2-1s, they don't excite me. I want goals. I want to hurt teams.
I'm smiling, Rick, because that's Fatawu fucked now, isn't it?
Kiss of death. There we are. Done. It was fun while it lasted.
No, because
you ruined it again.
He backed up Hall. He backed up Hall with that. So I reckon,
is that all it takes for you?
Mate, he's played 40
minutes. 2 substitute appearances.
He's also been booked twice.
Hang on. What have I said there that gives him the kiss of death? I've learnt my lesson with Tete.
No, you haven't.
I've learnt my lesson with. Although someone, right? I'm going to go off on one, right? Somebody, again, having to stick the fucking needle in about Tete, about how good Mavadidi is, and saying
he's
going to
follow you forever. You know this, right? For like literally forever.
That's fine. I'm big enough, bad enough to take it. But I was actually one of the few people to actually be quite positive about Mavadidi signing. There was a lot of Leicester fans who were like, "Ah, no way. He's 25. He ain't done a lot at Montpellier." And I was like, "He will. He'll do all right. He's not a world beater, but he'll do all right." But people trying to dig me out. I was the one sticking up for Mavadidi when he signed, and then I'm getting the shit about Tete. So bollocks.
There we are. Right. Do you feel better now?
What about Harry Winks? How did you react to him signing?
Again, I'll be hands up. I like Winks now. I get it. Thing is, though, it's like seeing the ingredients to a quiche. It's a mess, isn't it? But then at the end of it, you're like, that is nice. And that's what I basically came into the Winks debate when I just saw the slop, the muck and bullet. But when it's all put together, yeah, fair play.
Right, Jack, clip that up, because when we're doing this quiz, one of the rounds is going to be what Rick said next. So that may well make its way into that quiz. Jordan, what do you want to add, mate, before we finish up?
The final thing, and it's very fitting. You may have already mentioned it, but I doubt it. Seeing a video today, and I was gutted I wasn't there, because I really wanted to see Kylie Minogue tonight, and someone arranged the pod for this for the same time. And Simply Redrum this morning as well, which would have been brilliant. But Jamie Vardy was at Vicky Park to welcome Vernon Kay. And I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he had a little swipe at Tottenham on the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is absolutely brilliant. What a man. What a man.
I need to go have a look at this now. I was unaware. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Simo's put it on Twitter.
Right. I shall go and find.
I tweeted it.
What, on the Big Strong Leicester Boys?
No, on my own.
Oh, okay.
Don't get him. Right.
And I'd like to think Vernon...
You put something up on Friday night and the notifications went wild.
Yeah. Just turn the notifications off. Yeah, drained my battery as well. Yeah, don't blame me. Blame the unsavoury Southampton fan.
Blame the Southampton fan.
And the police. Right, lads,
we've finished. I don't care FC were in there.
You what, sorry?
Don't care FC were in our notifications mouthing off again, weren't they?
Yeah.
One last thing.
Yes, go on.
Second tier pod. Drink it in. Have that. 4-1.
I'd forgotten about that. Fucking hell. What a bad take. Oh, bore off. Let's just doing it for clicks.
Come on, let's just leave it. Yeah, there we are. Enough said. Right, lads. Actually, genuine carnage, but loved this episode. Thank you again to the brilliant Darren Eady for coming on. And yeah, Wednesday evening, Norwich against Leicester.
The Jake Watson Derby.
It's something like that.
Put your bug repellent on, Norwich.
Yeah, yeah. Right, we'll be back. I don't know, because it's a midweek game. We'll have a chat. We'll let you know on social media. But at some point, maybe with Ewan Roberts. I'll text him again, but he always seems to be having Sunday dinner every time I ask him. But look, thanks for listening. And yeah, we'll be back at some point next week. Leicester Norwich up next. Is anything happening?
It was playing.
Is it?
Yeah, it was. It was, and then it stopped.
Jack, you're just going to have to add Leicester Fiesta. My laptop has paused.
I might just leave it in.
Come on. What's happening? Is anything happening?
On. It's on.
I can't hear anything.
Bye. It's a Leicester Fiesta. He's waving.
What's happening? Am I just making noise in the background? All you want is right here. Everything is at hand. Make your mind up. I don't know what's happened. Are we still playing?
Yes.
Can you hear music?
Yes.
Why can't I hear any music? I'm trying, Jack. I'm trying. I actually have no control over this.
Sports Social Podcast Network.